Have you recently seen any action movie?
Yes.
Sometimes I personally think that action movie raises our blood pressure. It is, you have to really have enough strength to watch action movies. But from the ancient point of view and the reader's point of view, if you read the Mark's Gospel, then you realize that it's the gospel with action, full of action. More than the words, Mark kept Jesus very busy. He kept on writing and writing, only 16 chapters, but he was quite busy. Jesus became very busy in Mark's gospel. So it's more an action thriller for the reader in the ancient world, in the midst of four gospels. Let's now dwell on the details of John Mark, the author of Gospel of Mark. John, Johannes in Greek, means God is gracious. Yoh or Yahweh means God. Anes means grace, which is a Jewish name. And the second word, Mark, was a Latin word equal to Greek Markos, which means consecrated to God. So we have a combination of theology in this beautiful name. So let's see the family background. John, or Mark, was born to a Jewish mother named Mary. According to Acts chapter 12, verse 12, which has just been read to us. So the first verse, when Peter realized this, that means he was arrested by the Roman soldiers and he was imprisoned, the angel of God comes to Peter and releases him. And then he thought it was all a dream, it was not real. And verse 12 carries on. When Peter realized this, that means it was real, he was relieved. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So what was John's mother's name? Mary. We don't know exactly what the background of this wonderful woman was. However, a house was a big house which could manage to accommodate many church members. In Acts chapter 2, we study that thousands of people accepted Jesus when Peter first spoke. So quite a number of people were gathering in their house and praying for Peter's release. In other words, if she had a big house, that indicates he must be a massively rich person. Am I right? Yeah, elite, probably. Aristocrat, probably. We will come to know a little later what their background was. Some suggest Jesus may have had his last supper in this house, which indicates that John Mark, Mary's son, knew Jesus and the apostle right from the young age. So the 12 apostles with Jesus, this little lad or child probably, have been watching what's going on in their house. He must be a teenager when the church built in there, when the church was developing in their house. According to Colossians chapter 4 verse 10, which was just read to us, John Mark was a cousin to Barnabas. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to 37, which is again just read to us, which talks about Barnabas. Barnabas, Mark's cousin, original name, verse 36, is Joseph. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So he was a landowner. He must be a rich man. In fact, if you talk about the Levites, according to society, Jewish society, or Moses' history, Levites were none but priests. And priests were very elite, very aristocrats. They were the people who served in the temple of Jerusalem. They had terms to go and assist in Jerusalem temple. So if Barnabas was a Levite, then obviously Mark was also a Levite, wasn't he? Yeah, he comes from a priestly background. And then often priestly families are rich and aristocratic, and after they became Christians, their riches were used for the expansion of God's kingdom. Wow! That is a lesson to us. All the riches were at apostles' feet. They realized that these earthly mansions or money that they accumulated, nothing worth in the kingdom of God. So Barnabas generously sold and brought his property or money apostles' feet. Why did apostles change his name? He was actually Joseph. It's a beautiful name, wasn't it? Why did they change the name? Apostles, according to one commentator, he said that probably they changed names to reach out to the Gentiles. So they have a strategy. They found the people who are gifted and talented. This man comes from the Cyprus, a small island, and he could obviously speak Greek. So because he was in Cyprus, because he comes from a different land, they were preparing him. So they said, well, you are Barnabas, which means man of encouragement, because they saw the qualities in him, and that is why they named him as Barnabas. Mary, who had large property, which was her house, became the place of Christian gatherings. It literally became the early church. The building was used for the church. So when Peter was released from jail, he went to her house where the church was praying for him. Now, I haven't mentioned in the readings, but if you go down on the 12th chapter of Acts, if you have the Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 12, verse 25. There is a very good verse that talks about John Mark. If you are still trying to see the pages, let me read for you. Acts chapter 12, verse 25. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking them, John, also called Mark, to Antioch. Actually, the mission that they carried was, they collected some money from Antioch to give gifts to the members in Jerusalem. They needed money. So they brought the money. Probably Barnabas also had gave that money, the property money, everything, to the church. And with Saul, they were returning to Antioch because they want to establish ministry there. Barnabas and his associate Paul from his native Jerusalem, they all went to Antioch, three of them. So these two apostles, Barnabas and Paul, may have seen some talents and gifts in this young boy, Mark, and took him along with them to serve the Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 says like this. Now there were in Antioch in the church, that was their prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian and Saul. Please notice, Mark's name isn't mentioned here. He was not a pastor. He was not a preacher. He was not a teacher. He was not an evangelist. He was not a prophet. He was not a big leader. He was just a young lad, young boy. But his official title was helper, according to Acts chapter 13, verse 5. He had every opportunity to listen and assist these great leaders. However, when the ministry got tough with this young man, they seem to have not coped well. He managed to travel to a few places along with Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey. But when they reached Perga in Pamphylia, today's southern part of Turkey, a place famous for international trade in the ancient world, with diverse groups confronting the gospel, Mark decided to leave Paul and Barnabas and go back to Jerusalem. Young boy was homesick. Yeah, when you send your children to university or school, they become homesick. You receive a lot of telephone calls. Yeah, and you will talk about the welfare of them. Well, this is what is happening. Young boy carrying a tough job because people were resisting the gospel, persecuting Paul and Barnabas. They were facing a lot of problems. He was scared. His departure to Jerusalem led to a falling out between Paul and Barnabas also. When they set off for the second missionary journey, this happened. Let me read for you Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to 40, which we have just heard. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, who is his cousin. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, that is his native place. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Wow! This young boy, John Mark, became the cause of conflict. How sad! So Paul and Barnabas had a big argument about Mark. Paul didn't want to take Mark along because Mark had abandoned them before. The word withdrawn in Greek is apostante. Apo means withdrawing, going away, moving far away. Apo, apokrypha, writings that are rejected, moved away, apo, you understand? And stanta means standing, stateos. So, in other words, literally, he deserted them. This young man deserted the ministry, deserted his leaders, and went home with homesick, probably. A helper became a deserter. No reasons were mentioned for his departure. This argument made them split into two teams. And they started each their own missionary journeys instead of one together. We will not hear anything about Mark or Barnabas in the book of Acts. Nothing. For almost 10 years, according to chronology of Mark's life, for almost 10 years, the scripture was silent. Nothing mentioned about him. It's a reminder that even when people argue, God can still make good things happen. That's happening with Joseph, isn't it? Joseph said, "You intended me to harm me, but God turned this harm into a blessing. Now you are surviving, I am surviving." I probably guess Mark may have been homesick and went to Jerusalem and spent time assisting the apostles in Jerusalem, including Peter. That's possible. Now, after 10 years, Paul mentioned Mark in his epistle, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. "My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." This indicates a lot happened in 10 years' time, and the best thing happened at the end was that Mark had reconciled with Paul. How beautiful it is. ministry of reconciliation. Wow. So Paul was sending his assistant, Mark, now officially to Colossae, giving some instructions to them. Receive him because he is coming on my behalf. Because actually this is the time, this particular letter was written when Paul was imprisoned. That was the first imprisonment. Paul was imprisoned two times. So in the first imprisonment, Mark was mentioned that he was assisting Paul in his prison ministry. What does it mean? We know through an Ephesians study that we studied a few months before that Paul was house arrested. He didn't say that. He was house arrested with a little bit of freedom where people were allowed to visit him and the local church was listening to his preaching. So did Mark. Mark was present and he became important to Paul's prison ministry in Rome. If you read Act last chapter, you will come to know Paul had freedom to talk to visitors. So in his first imprisonment, Paul wrote letters to Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Four letters. Mark is again mentioned in the letter of Philemon. But in the Bible, Philemon, only one chapter is there in this letter. Chapter 1, verse 23. Again, look what Paul writes to Philemon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Actually, he called these associates my fellow workers. But actually, in Greek, the original word was my fellow prisoners. Because they were present. Because it was a house arrest, others were allowed to stay with him. So there was a team, and Mark was that part of the team. So here Mark was called fellow worker, literally fellow prisoner. The purpose of writing Philemon was to ask him to forgive and reconsider the runaway slave Onesimus. If you read the letter. Mentioning Mark in this letter is significant because Paul himself had worked through the issue of forgiveness with Mark. Didn't he? He forgave Mark. And that's the instruction he was passing on to his friend Philemon, who was once apostle himself and had already implemented in his relationship with John Mark. So Paul titled Mark as fellow prisoner or fellow worker. So from helper to defector and from defector to helper again. Wow, what a transition. This is very interesting story of an individual in the early church. So the lesson that we learn out of this is it shows that even if Christians don't always agree, we agree to disagree, but we don't fight, they can work things out by accepting that they have different opinions and letting God guide them to fulfill His will through their lives. So when there is a conflict, please remember, surrender first, not to your enemy, but to God. Okay, that's what Paul said. He must have been very upset with this young man. He had a big argument. He lost his own companion, Barnabas. Such a sad situation. But God sorted it out. But how long did this reconciled relationship, friendship lasted? That is very interesting to know. So I said Paul was arrested two times. First imprisonment, and then after first imprisonment, he was relieved. For 5 to 7 years, again, he worked. I assume because Mark started to assisting him in first imprisonment, Mark was with Paul in his ministry. We have the clue in the scripture. Now, we'll turn to Paul's letter. I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Now, let me tell you why Paul, before his death, Paul died in 66 or 67 AD. Before he died, he wrote his last letter to his disciple Timothy. he writes in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, 6, I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure has come. That means Paul was ready to die. He knew that he was going to die. That was his last letter. The gap between the two imprisonments was about 5 to 7 years. So Paul mentioned again about Mark while writing to Timothy and says like this, do your best to come to me quickly. Because he was dying. He wanted to see his associates who helped in the ministry. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke. You all have gone. You're busy in your ministry. Before my death, please come and see me. Another important thing. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Because he is helpful to me in my ministry. See? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The word help in Greek is eucharistos. Eucharistos, which means, you means very. Eulogy. We call it eulogy or eulogy, which means something to say good about. Very, exceedingly. Positive word, you. Christos means, literally meaning of Christos means useful, profitable, easy, better, gracious, and kind. Wow, so many qualities. He was a helper. He became a helper. He was a comforter to Paul. Before his death, he wanted to see Mark. Paul put nothing in his mind or grudge against Mark. It's all in the past. God's reconciliation really transforms our minds. It is something like, you know, if you know computer, if you format it, it becomes new again. Isn't it? That's the beauty. The blood of Jesus will reconcile, clean our hearts, format it, make it new. That's the power of the gospel. So Paul and Mark teach us the true Christian reconciliation. Nothing is impossible to God. Broken relationships can be healed and be restored by the power of Holy Spirit. This is exactly Paul's prayer. He hated the deserter. But when Paul prayed, that deserter again turned to a blessing. Eucharistos, gracious, kind, helping Paul. What a transformation. A few years later, from the time of the first imprisonment, he had Mark at his side. A few years later, in his second imprisonment, on the brink of his death, he wanted Mark with him. Mark was not an apostle, not a prophet, not a pastor, not a teacher, not a healer, not an evangelist. Not even a leader, just a helper. From defection to restoration, Mark became intimately associated with Paul, and he who was loved and trusted that he was sent to the Colossians church on his behalf. And that when Paul was facing death at the end of his life, the one person he asked to come in addition to Timothy was to bring Mark. What a story of human reconciliation. Impossible situation can be possible by God. Lastly, Mark's helping ministry continues with Peter. Mark's ministry never died. He became the companion and confidant of Peter. Mark's acquaintance with Peter was deeper than Paul, actually, because he had been listening to Peter's preaching right from his young age. Peter must have been visiting his house many times. When he left Paul and went to Jerusalem in his first missionary journey, I think he must have been a useful assistant or helper to Peter's ministry in Jerusalem. Is there any clue that Peter, he has been helping in Peter? Peter, in his last days before his martyrdom, ministered a few months in Rome preaching the gospel. Peter died in Rome, actually. So when he was in Rome, Mark was assisting him. Some scholars even suggest that Peter must have made a personal request to Mark to write the gospel, because he has been listening about Jesus from Peter. Peter gives a special title to Mark in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. She, that means the church, who is at Babylon, a very symbolic term for Rome. That means when he was writing 1 Peter, he was in Rome. Peter was in Rome. So, who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does my Mark, my son. This is a very special title. While Paul was appreciating Mark as a helper, Peter was calling him my son. Wow! The spiritual son. What a bond between Peter and Mark. So Mark continued his ministry of helping both Paul and Peter all his life. He must have listened to both several sermons and preaching about Jesus' life. However, most early church fathers believed that the gospel according to Mark was St. Peter's memoirs. For example, Polycarp, an early church father who knew Apostle John, had a disciple by name Papias, who later became Bishop of Hierapolis. Papias writes like this about Mark. Mark was the interpreter of Peter, wrote with exactness. So we see how the early church fathers recognized Mark's contribution. Let me tell you something. If you see Greek Bible, kata Markos, kata Matayam, these are gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to John. The word according is a very legal term, because the one's name is mentioned, then he owns the writings. Yeah, that is the word according is a very technical term, forensic term. So the early church fathers were writing the letters about Mark. Gospel according to Mark. Gospel according to Matthew. That means there is some significance on each gospel. So Mark was the interpreter of Peter, who wrote with exactness, says Papias. Justin, another early church father who lived between AD 150, 150, spoke about memoirs of Peter being the Gospel of Mark written in Rome after Peter's death. In other words, the Holy Spirit inspired John Mark to write the Gospel. The Spirit of God protected and controlled to be inerrant revelation concerning the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas Matthew had written to Jewish audience, Mark seems to have written to Roman believers, particularly to the Gentiles. He's translated here, if you read the Greek Bible, all the Aramaic words were translated. In some places he used Latin expressions instead of Greek equivalents. So it clearly indicates that Mark was written for the Gentiles and Roman church. He used Roman timings in his gospel and carefully explained Jewish customs. He elaborated so that the readers would understand. He omitted Jewish elements such as the genealogies. You don't find genealogies in Mark's gospel. Ancestry, birth narratives that you find in Matthew and Luke. No, nothing of that sort. Even Old Testament references were very few, not many. And most interestingly, Pharisees and Sadducees were very prominent for Matthew and Luke. Right? But for Mark, only one time in the entire gospel, Sadducees was mentioned. So it's not Jewishness at all. It was very Gentile writing about Jesus. There is one person named in Mark's gospel, chapter 15, verse 21. And the name was Simon of Cyrene. Probably is the man who took the cross and walked up till little longer because he was a visitor to Jerusalem at that point. So Mark identifies him as the father of Rufus, a prominent member of the church at Rome, if you compare with Romans chapter 16, verse 13. All of this supports that the traditional view that Mark was written for a Gentile audience at Rome. Interestingly, we don't find Jesus' teaching material in Mark, long discourses like Sermon on the Mount, that sort of thing. No. Although we get some snippets where he emphasizes Jesus' actions rather than teachings. But he called Jesus as a teacher for 39 times. But he never recorded Jesus' teachings like Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus was an action hero. He begins with Jesus' public ministry with baptism account. He emphasizes the humanity of Jesus and his emotions. His human limitations were also mentioned, and other small details that highlight the human side of Jesus. In terms of which gospel was written first, there are various theories suggesting that Mark's was the first gospel written in AD 50, between AD 50 and 60. And his gospel was used by Luke and Matthew as a source material while writing their gospels along with other available sources. But this is a theory, we don't know. Synoptic gospel means Matthew, Mark, and John, and the comparison study is called synoptic gospels. Synoptics, books together, reading together. He emphasized especially Jesus' cross. He emphasized on discipleship. He emphasized on Jesus as Rabbi for 39 times. And Son of God is his title. And this title is very important because no other gospel had recorded more miracles than Mark. For him, miracles are very important. You know why? Because those miracles prove Jesus' divinity. Jesus asks the Jewish leaders, you know, if you don't believe me, at least believe in my works that God has sent me. So, in conclusion, John's life is a beautiful testimony for all of us. Could I say it was a testament to the power of God's grace? He was a talented and gifted individual, but he was also a humble servant of God. He used his talents to serve God and make a difference in the world. Mark's story is an inspiration to all of us, a story of reconciliation, a story of restoration. It reminds us that God can use anyone, regardless of their age, experience, or background. If we are willing to serve God with our talents and our gifts, God will use us to make a difference in the world. So, friends, do you want to become like Mark? I want, in St. James, many Marks. You wrote the gospel, but you do something. Don't underestimate a helper's ministry. Don't think, oh, I'm just sitting in the corner and I'll just invite people, that's my job. No! God will use that ministry empowering. You don't know what happens, how much you influence others, you don't recognize that. But friends, even in a small thing, if you give to the Lord, whatever you do in the name of Jesus, you will never miss the reward that God gives you. So serve the Lord. That's why every Sunday the service ends by saying, go in peace. And what do I say? To serve the Lord. That's my wish. St. James should serve Jesus Christ. I want to see many, many Marcuses. I want to see Marcus and female Marcuses in this church so that we may grow in number and live for God. Amen. go back to Jerusalem. Young boy was homesick. Yeah, when you send your children to university or school, they become homesick. You receive a lot of telephone calls. Yeah, and you will talk about the welfare of them. Well, this is what is happening. Young boy carrying a tough job because people were resisting the gospel, persecuting the Paul and Barnabas. They were facing a lot of problems. He was scared. His departure to Jerusalem led to a falling out between Paul and Barnabas also. When they set off for the second missionary journey, this happened. Let me read for you Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to 40, which we have just heard. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, who is his cousin, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, that is his native place. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Wow. This young boy, John Mark, became the cause of conflict. How sad. So Paul and Barnabas had a big argument about Mark. Paul didn't want to take Mark along because Mark had abandoned them before. The word withdrawn in Greek is apostante. Apo means withdrawing, going away, moving far away. Apo. Apocrypha. Writings that are rejected, moved away. Apo. You understand? And stanta means standing, stateos. So, in other words, literally, he deserted them. This young man deserted the ministry, deserted his leaders, and went home with homesick, probably. A helper became a deserter. No reasons were mentioned for his departure. This argument made them split into two teams, and they started each their own missionary journeys instead of one together. We will not hear anything about Mark or Barnabas in the book of Acts. Nothing. For almost 10 years, according to chronology of Mark's life, for almost 10 years, the scripture was silent. Nothing mentioned about him. It's a reminder that even when people argue, God can still make good things happen. That's happening with Joseph, isn't it? Joseph said, "You intended me to harm me, but God turned this harm into a blessing. Now you are surviving, I am surviving." I probably guess Mark may have been homesick and went to Jerusalem and spent time assisting the apostles in Jerusalem, including Peter. That's possible. Now, after 10 years, Paul mentioned Mark in his epistle, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. That is there in our order of service, or if you want to see the screen, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. "My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." This indicates a lot happened in 10 years' time, and the best thing happened at the end was that Mark had reconciled with Paul. How beautiful it is. Ministry of reconciliation. Wow. So Paul was sending his assistant, Mark, now officially to Colossae. giving some instructions to them. Receive him because he is coming on my behalf. Because actually this is the time, this particular letter was written when Paul was imprisoned. That was the first imprisonment. Paul was imprisoned two times. So in the first imprisonment, Mark was mentioned that he was assisting Paul in his prison ministry. What does it mean? We know through an Ephesians study that we studied a few months before that Paul was house arrested. Didn't say that? He was house arrested. With a little bit of freedom where people were allowed to visit him and the local church was listening to his preaching. So did Mark. Mark was present and he became important to Paul's prison ministry in Rome. If you read Acts chapter, last chapter, you will come to know Paul had freedom to talk to visitors. So in his first imprisonment, Paul wrote letters to Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Four letters. Mark is again mentioned in the letter of Philemon. I didn't mention here. But in the Bible, Philemon, only one chapter is there in this letter. Chapter 1, verse 23. Again, look what he writes. Paul writes to Philemon, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. In fact, he called these associates my fellow workers. But actually in Greek, the original word was my fellow prisoners. Because they were present. Because it was a house arrest, others were allowed to stay with him. So there was a team, and Mark was that part of the team. So here Mark was called fellow worker, literally fellow prisoner. The purpose of writing Philemon was to ask him to forgive and reconsider the runaway slave Onesimus. If you read the letter. Mentioning Mark in this letter is significant because Paul himself had worked through the issue of forgiveness with Mark. Didn't he? He forgave Mark. And that's the instruction he was passing on to his friend Philemon, who was once apostle himself and had already implemented in his relationship with John Mark. So Paul titled Mark as fellow prisoner or fellow worker. So from helper to defector and from defector to helper again. Wow, what a transition. This is very interesting story of an individual in the early church. So the lesson that we learn out of this is, it shows that even if Christians don't always agree, we agree to disagree, but we don't fight, they can work things out by accepting that they have different opinions and letting God guide them to fulfill His will through their lives. So when there is a conflict, please remember, surrender first, not to your enemy, but to God. Okay, that's what Paul said. He must have been very upset with this young man. He had a big argument. He lost his own companion, Barnabas. Such a sad situation. But God sorted it out. But how long did this reconciled relationship and friendship lasted? That is very interesting to know. So I said Paul was arrested two times. First imprisonment, and then after first imprisonment, he was relieved. For 5 to 7 years, again, he worked. I assume, because Mark started to assisting him in first imprisonment, Mark was with Paul in his ministry. We have the clue in the scripture. Now, we'll turn to Paul's letter. Did I mention here? No, I haven't mentioned. I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Now, let me tell you why Paul. Paul before his death. Paul died in 66 or 67 AD. Before he died, he wrote his last letter to his disciple Timothy. And he writes in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, 6. I am already to be offered. I am ready to be offered. Time of my departure has come. That means Paul was ready to die. He knew that he was going to die. That was his last letter. The gap between the two imprisonments was about 5 to 7 years. So Paul mentioned again about Mark while writing to Timothy and says like this, Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, do your best to come to me quickly. Because he was dying. He wanted to see his associates who helped in the ministry. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke. You all have gone. You're busy in your ministry. Before my death, please come and see me. Another important thing. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Because he is helpful to me in my ministry. See? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The word help in Greek is eucharistos. Eucharistos, which means, you means very. Eulogy. We call it eulogy or eulogy, which means something to say good about. Very, exceedingly. Positive word, you. Christos means, literally meaning of Christos means useful, profitable, easy, better, gracious, and kind. Wow, so many qualities. He was a helper. He became a helper. He was a comforter to Paul. Before his death, he wanted to see Mark. Paul put nothing in his mind or grudge against Mark. It's all in the past. God's reconciliation really transforms our minds. It is something like, you know, if you know computer, if you format it, it becomes new again. Isn't it? That's the beauty. The blood of Jesus will reconcile, clean our hearts, format it, make it new. That's the power of the gospel. So Paul and Mark teach us the true Christian reconciliation. Nothing is impossible to God. Broken relationships can be healed and be restored by the power of Holy Spirit. I remember reading a missionary book, Watchman Nee, a missionary to China. Well, he writes in his commentary to Romans. And one thing that really touched my heart was, he prayed like this, oh Lord, I hate these people, because they were hurting him very badly. Watchman Nee was praying like that, I hate these people. But it is possible for your Holy Spirit to turn my heart to love them. This is exactly Paul's prayer. He hated the deserter. But when Paul prayed, that deserted again turned to a blessing. Eucharistos, gracious, kind, helping. Paul, what a transformation. A few years later, from the time of the first imprisonment, he had Mark at his side. A few years later, in his second imprisonment, on the brink of his death, he wanted Mark with him. Mark was not an apostle, not a prophet, not a pastor, not a teacher, not a healer, not an evangelist, not even a leader, just a helper. From defection to restoration, Mark became intimately associated with Paul, and he who was loved and trusted that he was sent to the Colossians church on his behalf. And that when Paul was facing death at the end of his life, the one person he asked to come in addition to Timothy was to bring Mark. What a story of human reconciliation. Impossible situation can be possible by God. Lastly, Mark's helping ministry continues with Peter. Mark's ministry never died. He became the companion and confidant of Peter. Mark's acquaintance with Peter was deeper than Paul, actually, because he had been listening to Peter's preaching right from his young age. Peter must have been visiting his house many times. When he left Paul and went to Jerusalem in his first missionary journey, I think he must have been useful assistant or helper to Peter's ministry in Jerusalem. Is there any clue that Peter? Peter, in his last days before his martyrdom, ministered a few months in Rome preaching the gospel. Peter died in Rome, actually. So when he was in Rome, Mark was assisting him. And some scholars even suggest that Peter must have made a personal request to Mark to write the gospel, because he has been listening about Jesus from Peter. Peter gives a special title to Mark in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. Did I mention here? Yes. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. She, that means the church, who is at Babylon, a very symbolic term for Rome. That means when he was writing 1 Peter, he was in Rome. Peter was in Rome. So Mark, and he says, who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does my Mark, my son. This is a very special title. While Paul was appreciating Mark as a helper, Peter was calling him my son. Wow. The spiritual son. What a bond between Peter and Mark. So Mark continued his ministry of helping both Paul and Peter all his life. He must have listened to both several sermons and preaching about Jesus' life. However, most early church fathers believed that the gospel according to Mark was St. Peter's memoirs. For example, Polycarp, an early church father who knew Apostle John, had a disciple by name Papias, who later became Bishop of Hierapolis. Papias writes like this about Mark. Mark was the interpreter of Peter, wrote with exactness. So we see how the early church fathers recognized Mark's contribution. Let me tell you something. If you see Greek Bible, kata makos, kata matayam, you know, these are gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to John. The word according is a very legal term, because the one's name is mentioned, then he owns the writings. We call it reserved, rights reserved, you see. Yeah. That is, the word according is a very technical term, forensic term. So the early church fathers were writing the letters about Mark. Gospel according to Mark. Gospel according to Matthew. That means there is some significance on each gospel. So Mark was the interpreter of Peter, who wrote with exactness, says Papias. Justin, another early church father who lived between AD 150, spoke about memoirs of Peter being the Gospel of Mark written in Rome after Peter's death. In other words, the Holy Spirit inspired John Mark to write the Gospel. The Spirit of God protected and controlled to be inerrant revelation concerning the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas Matthew had written to Jewish audience, Mark's